went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. Now this, again, as we're going through the scripture, seems like a very small, insignificant thing, but you have to stop in these moments. You have to see these moments. I want you to see these 3 listed women and the many others that were unlisted. And I want us to take a minute to appreciate what they did. You'll see so often when you look into a church, it's easy for us to see or say that there are 2 different types of ministries. Right? There are the ministries like the pastor, who gets up and preaches. There's the Sunday school teachers who get up and they give their lessons. There's the devotion givers. There's those that are readily available to do outreach, and they're inviting people to church and they're doing the work of an evangelist, right? We see the outward faces of people, and that's good. It's good to see them. That is the sole purpose of the Great Commission. They're out there doing the work. The Lord Jesus Christ and these 12, they're doing the work. And then we turn and we see the other types of work. We're seeing the more behind the scenes things of the work. Today, I mean, it's Wednesday, we're going to be cleaning bathrooms today. I say we editorially because I've never been invited to go back there. I guess I should just show up. But no, we've got that. We need that. That is important. And of course, I've sat there before and had these discussions. Is one more important than the other? Well, let's take a minute to stop and look at what the church is. What is the church? It is not this building. This building goes away, we'll be fine. Right? It's not this building. What is it? It's you and me collectively together under the headship of Christ as one body. And you've got parts of the body that are the outward parts, the visible parts. You can see my hands. You can see my face. Bless you. You can see my body and the things that it's doing. You can see those things. But let me ask you, what is more important? My arm or my heart? What's more important, my nose or my gallbladder? You'd sit there and you'd say, well, brother, that's ridiculous. You would never want to trade one for the other. You need it all. You don't have a heart, you're done. Right? See, it doesn't matter if the ministry is something that is visible or invisible. It is vital to the body. Let's take something very obvious, like we just talked about the bathrooms. What happens if nobody cleans the bathrooms? Well, I've got a rule, and Danielle's heard me preach it from day one we got married. There are 2 rooms in your house you clean first. Right? I can tell immediately when I walk in the house what kind of house it is by looking at your kitchen and looking at your bathroom, because everything falls apart in there. Everything bad happens in there. Right? So if you're not particular there, I know that there's probably issues in the other house. When I was a maintenance guy and I would go in, 60% of my work orders would be in either the kitchen or the bathroom. Why? Because that's where the serious plumbing is. That's where the serious stuff is. So you tell me, as a church, what happens to us if we don't have sanitary conditions? You get sick. Bad things happen. Yeah, but brother, you just said that it's not about the building. Well, if we're around the building, we need to take care of that, don't we? Hey, I tell you what about this? What about the men who pay attention to the things that are broken and blinking or not quite working around? Those people that step up and say, well, I'll fix that. I'll take care of this. Is that vital? I don't know. If we don't change out the air filters for the furnace, we'll sure know about it in February. We'll know about this. Some of you can't handle cold conditions. You need that taken care of. And I tell you this, I'm not preaching. You know why I'm preaching this? We've been going down the road. We're preaching this because we've come to this. I don't think Home Missionary Baptist Church has a problem here. Now, sure, we could always be better, right? Amen? always be better. But what we have to understand is every work, every task, every chore is of vital importance. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little biased. I love the fellowship that we had back there. I didn't get much out of the preaching. I hope you did. But I'll tell you, this is a nerdy thing. I never get to sit with the preachers. Because typically, especially since we've moved up here, and really always, it's always been either my mom and dad or her mom and dad. Where are we sitting? You know what I mean? It's like asking your mom if you can go out and hang out with your friends. Sure, let me grab my purse. You know what I mean? Love my parents. Love every second with my parents. But I didn't ask. I just disappeared. Went over to the preacher's table. I sat down. I talked for a while. I got to know these guys. So often you see it in passing. You have a few quick words here or there. Hey, thanks for coming to my conference. Sure, I'll come to yours. You know, but it was good to sit down over some food and talk. You know, it kind of makes people want to sit around and talk. We got some food there. Well, brother, we had 5 different kinds of cookies. I don't think that mine was all that important. It doesn't matter. We're feeding the people of God. We're lending this opportunity to sit and to think and to talk and to enjoy each other's company. And I tell you what, we need that. Because the temptation is what? For us to sit around and do precious little. The temptation is for us to occupy our couches and forget about each other. That's not healthy for you. That's not healthy for the rest of the body. So I tell you what, if all it costs me is a couple dishes here or there so I can get around some folks. Hey, where's the kitchen? Right? That's good. It's a wonderful thing that we should do. When we look at these women here, when we look at their heart, why did they love that? Why did they serve that way? Because first and foremost, they were blessed by the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were blessed by it. Mary Magdalene, 7 devils. I couldn't imagine what that would feel like inside. I couldn't imagine what that would do to you mentally or physically. I couldn't imagine how badly that would destroy my life. And he took them from her. You better believe that she was more than willing to sit there and say, all right, well, I'll wash your clothes. I'll cook your food. I'll do whatever. You changed my life. So what I have, I'll give to you. And you know what? She didn't have a fancy car. She didn't have millions of dollars. You know what she had? The ability to care for the physical needs of the group. So she cared. Look at some of these other women that were saved and they were changed. They were preached to. And the gospel affected them. They were grateful. Listen, as much as I would say that I love making something that I know y'all would like, the real purpose behind what it is that I do is to please the Lord. Whether I'm up here or I'm getting in my wife's way in the kitchen, right? I want to serve the Lord. That's for Him. Because the bottom line here is that if my motivation to serve the Lord isn't my gratitude towards Him, and it's simply to impress people or to check off a quota or to make a point here or there to somebody, it's not going to be enough to keep me going through the hard times. Like, for instance, when I'm having a bad day. You ever just have a bad day and you're like, I don't want to do anything. I'm done. Loving the Lord and having a desire and a practice to serve Him will keep you going. When you remember the word that He preserved for you, when you remember the effect that His lessons in His book has taught you, it is out of my gratitude for Him. What about when we get angry with each other? As a church, we ought not get angry with each other. If we do, we know how to fix it according to Scripture. But if we do, the flesh will say, quit. The flesh will say, I don't need to be there at church. The flesh will say, I don't need to be there at that fellowship. The flesh will say, I don't feel like doing this. However, when we remember the value, the effect that Christ has had on our lives, we will push through because it's not about anybody else. It's about Him. And by the way, if that's your motivation, that's going to fix a lot of these problems we were just talking about. If my heart is focused on Him, if my mind is focused on Him, there's a whole lot of gratitude that's going to come out. I'll be so grateful for what it is that's being preached. I will gladly be there. I'll be so grateful for what it is that the Word of God says, that I will gladly open it up every day. And I will gladly meet the needs that God has. Now, God's amazing that way. He doesn't have a lot of physical needs Himself. He doesn't need to eat your pie or eat your salad or eat the macaroni and cheese that you brought. He doesn't need that. But there's a lot of work that needs to be done within the church. There's people in that building that could have those things. There's a lot of people that could use your help with this, that, or the other. There's a lot of that. You know, I looked over at the Skag. We were talking about taking the Skag in. We took the Skag in, by the way. Get that lawnmower turned in. We're going to get a, you know, full service on it, sharpen the blades, clean it up. I'm excited. I'm excited to throw elbows to ride that thing again next year. But you know what I don't have? I don't have a truck. I don't have a trailer. And you know what? We had a couple of men. Hey, listen, I'll help. You know, I'll help do that. Brother Tim, not to pick on Brother Tim, but he let us borrow his trailer because he didn't have a trailer. We had people who had vehicles that could do it. We had people who had one guy who has a trailer. So we loaded it up. We took it on in. Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Lord doesn't need Lord doesn't need to ride the lawnmower. But his lawnmower needed fixing. And you know what? Your pastor also has this embarrassing thing about him. He doesn't know how to back up a trailer. Well, I mean, I do, but I don't know how to do it in a time frame to where from open to close we'd have gotten it in. You know what I mean? I can't operate a trailer without America's Funniest Home Videos finding out about it. You know what I mean? So we had people, you know, men in this church that can and offered and volunteered to do that. We had the resources. We pooled those things together to take care of something that the Lord needed. And I tell you what, that's a good thing that we do that. You know, we'll bring up things that we need to do. And there's people, hey, pastor, I know a couple different companies. I'll pick up the phone. I'll get the bids together. Hey, pastor, listen, I see that that's what we're thinking of doing. Let me lend some expertise, some things that I know. I've picked almost all your brains at one time or another. Hey, what do you think we ought to do here? How do you think we ought to do this? Hey, I got this science question, this medical question, this electrical question. What should we do? And we pool those things together to do what? Take care of the Lord's business. That ought to be what we're doing. Now, why do we do it? Because of a heart, a desire to show gratitude to God. You see, they were preached to. They were delivered from their infirmities. They were saved from an eternity in hell. It didn't mean a thing to them to stop what they were doing and make sure the Lord Jesus Christ had some bread. It didn't bother them at all to stop to make sure that these gentlemen had some clean clothes so that they had the ability to go out there and focus on their part of the ministry. It didn't bother them at all. And I'm glad to be a member of Home Missionary Baptist Church that is filled with people who have that same heart. Well, I don't mind doing that. I'll take care of that. And I know that as time goes on, the body isn't what it used to be. And sometimes we lack the strength to take care of the things that we used to. But praise the Lord, you still retain the heart. Keep praying for those that can. Keep praying for those that can. I like it when we'll show up and do stuff. And we'll get more people show up to do it than we need. And some of y'all just kind of sit in a chair catching your breath. Now, I know how that sounds, but that's genuine. It's genuine. When we built that fence, not everybody had their hand on that hole. Sometimes you had some people sitting. Then they'd rest for a while. They'd get back up. And it was one of my favorite memories when I first came here. It is. Just a bunch of people getting together, picking on each other a little bit, getting something basic done. That was a good time. You know, when we have our cleaning days and the room is filled with laughter and joy. I remember our first cleaning day. I think it was our first one. Brother Gordon gave me a call and he said, hey, brother, I understand you're having a cleaning day tomorrow. Would it be okay if I pop out? That wouldn't bother you at all. I said, brother, it'd bother me if you came to town and you didn't pop in. He came in. What a good time that was. The laughter, the joy that we had. It was good times. And why do we do those things? Hopefully not to impress me. I'm already impressed. You already got me sold. Okay? Why do we do it? Because we love the Lord. Because he's wrought a great change and an effect on our lives. So you know what? I'm there. I'm willing. And because they were blessed by the ministry, they became a part of the ministry. Some people, they get bashful. It's good to be humble, but some people take it just a little too far. Oh, I don't do anything. I just, you know, vacuum and sweep and clean and mop and dust and let everybody know when this ain't working and let everybody know when that ain't working. I'm just the first one there and I'm also just the last one. It's no big deal. If you care for the church building, it's a big deal. So often I've said to one of you, hey, thank you for doing that. And the answer that you give to me is very heartwarming. You say, hey, no, I am a church member. It is my responsibility. And that's wonderful to hear. Because I know pastors out there that are on the phone begging for help. And they don't get it. Well, that's the pastor's job. That's why we hired a young one so he could do all the work. You hired a clumsy one, so you messed up. We have this heart. I'm a member of this church. I'm a part of this ministry. You know what the devil does? You know the devil wants you to not feel a part. He wants you to feel opposite of us. He wants you to feel on the outside, on the fringes. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to feel like you're alone, like you're separate from the pack. You're not. You be here, you have a heart for the membership, and you're in, man. You're in the group. There is no cliques, at least there shouldn't be cliques. There shouldn't be any good, there shouldn't be any circles over here and circles over there, and we don't cross the aisle. We're not Democrat Republicans, we are a Baptist church. We care for each other. We're all members of the same body. And I'll tell you this too, we are not, let me rephrase that. It's important for us to realize that our church membership is more than just our name on a roll somewhere. You understand? It is more than that. I've met people, well, it's just important to me that my name's on a membership of a church somewhere. Well, when was the last time you were there? Oh, about 5 years ago, I guess. But I'm a member. You get a lot of that down south. I'm a member up over here. What's the name of that pastor? Oh, I can't remember. How? Well, my mommy went there all her life. My daddy met her there. He was a member all his life. So that's where I'm a member of. They haven't excluded you yet. Well, why would they exclude me? Well, go ahead and take a look at that church covenant back there. You know what church membership is, right? We are not a social club. We are not a social club. We're not a secret band of undercover brethren. We are a group of people tasked and charged with the ministry of Jesus Christ. And if I am not a part of the body, then there is a problem. As a member, we've got voting rights, do we not? Why do you have voting rights? Because you're the people here helping to do the work, am I right? It's your tithe dollars. It's us together as a corporate family making these decisions together. All right, think about the body for a second. If I were to cut my leg off, I couldn't put it over there and it work. Right? If I lose my fingers, they stop moving because they're removed from the body. I cannot be on the outside of the body and still think that I'm a part of it. I will immediately begin to suffer. I'll immediately begin as a Christian. My Christian walk, my faith will begin to suffer almost immediately. That's why we need church membership. That's why we need to be connected to the body. Because we are tasked with a work, with responsibility. If we're not handling the responsibility, are we really part of the group? We are one body doing one job. We must be a part of that. We cannot be affected by ministry only. but then go and minister. And now, let me clarify this. There comes a point when your body won't anymore, right? And that's where the body takes care of you. It's where the body comes in and they take care of you. You serve and you work and you care and you write letters and you pray for people. You do all the things that God has commanded you to do. You care for the things. And then one day, it is our job to come take care of you. There was a lady at Flat Rock. She came forward so very often, busted up in the heart. Pastor, I'm really upset that I can't serve the Lord the way I want to. Lord, Pastor, I've been rebellious in not doing the things that I think that I should be doing. The woman had, what, 3 strokes? Barely move? Had a hard time functioning. We praise the Lord if she made it to the building. And she made it to a building a lot more than people with, you know, headaches and stubbed toes ever did. I praise the Lord for those people. But you know what? There does come a time when the Lord has designed it for us to come take care of you. Be there for you. Watch over you. Why? Because that's what love is. That's what the body does. If I've got one leg that ain't working right, the other leg's got to pick up the slack. Am I right? It's what we do. We're all affected by the ministry. Therefore, we then become a part of the ministry. These ladies, they came to the conclusion that we should. If God is willing to save my soul, I am willing to serve Him. And oftentimes serving Him, as we see countless times in Scripture, comes in the form of taking care of others. Of loving on them, making sure that they are encouraged. So let's look at some of the ministries that we've got going on there. Part of caring for their needs would be to feed them. Now, brother, how often are you going to bring up bringing food for fellowships and things like that? It is part of it. But I'll tell you this, I like it when one of us gets sick and we make some food. We take it over to that person. You know, just recently when we caught COVID, and people would show up, here's some food. Here's this. Some folks went out, they went grocery shopping for us. That's nice. I like it when we take care of each other that way. When we've got the forethought and the desire to be that encouragement. Hey, here's a card just to say I'm thinking about you. Here's something to say, hey, we love you. We're here for you. Oh, that ought to be our heart to make sure that the physical needs, particularly you know, for things that are severe like food and whatnot, that we're caring for those needs. And then for the fun times too, when we're having our 38th fellowship for the week. Yeah. Hey, let me bring that and let me do this. And I tell you what, I know sometimes it could become laborious. I know sometimes it could become difficult. All right, so how do I do this? I'll do this again. We've got the conference coming up, and I hope that you're sharpening your knives and you're getting your recipes all in order because it's going to be exciting. Going to be exciting. Got a lot of churches found out that we did it last year, called me scandalized that they didn't get invited. And they said, why didn't you invite us? Well, I didn't have your address. Oh, well, here's our address. All right, here you go. Thank you. Thank you. It's going to be fun. It's going to be amazing. Why do we need those things? It brings people together. It does. It's not about showing them what, it's not about showing off our fellowship hall. It's not about showing off our church building or showing off our choir. It's not about any of those things. What's it about? Caring for people. I tell you what, Jesus Christ, as he sat there preaching up and he saw those people, they were hungry. What did he do? Did he send them on their way? Oh, no, your disciples, you're right. Send them all out. No, what did he say? They'll faint on the way. Who's got some bread? Who's got some food? Someone here has to have some food. Bring it on up. And he starts multiplying that out for everybody. Why? Because it's necessary. Sure, we ought not to live by bread alone, but without bread, you won't live at all. Gluten-free or not, right? You need it. You need food. What about the care? What about the care? There comes a point where we need caring, each and every one of us. We need someone to care about what's going on in our lives. We need someone to sit there and maybe provide a helping hand. You know, could you imagine when one of the disciples coming back? Hey, Mary, they were throwing stones out there again, and my cloak got ripped. Oh, don't worry about it. I got you. Hey, we were out there, and I slipped, and I fell, and I got this huge gash on my arm. Oh, don't worry about it. I got you. Don't worry, just come on over here. I got you. We ought to love each other that way. Care for each other that way. Oh my, what great connections can be made when we care. What's that? You need help doing this project? Absolutely. What's that? You need help over there? I'm here for that. And I'll say this, some of you are really great. Well, I wouldn't say some, we're really great at giving help, aren't we? You know what we struggle with sometimes? Taking help. Oh, I'll bend over backwards for you, but don't you even bother bending over to pick that up for me. It's important for us to give and take. It's important that we keep that flow going. Give and take, give and take. Little for you, little for me. We work together. We ought to do that for our building. We ought to do that for this building. I tell you what, I love this building. It's not the most modern building. We don't have flashy, fancy UFO theater lights. You know, we don't have stuff like that. But you know what? I love this building. I love it. I love going back into the fellowship hall. I love seeing everybody back there. I love how many people that we can fit back there. I wish we tested the limits to that a little bit more. But I love it. I love going down to the classrooms and seeing what the teachers have done. When was the last time you went down there? Just took a peek. Just go down there, take a peek. See what's going down on there. Now, again, it's not the Taj Mahal in the basement. If we had one area where we could probably work on it, it's down there. But every building's got one spot, am I right? Every building's got that one thing. But I like going down there, looking at the classrooms. I'll go through every now and then, and I'll just pray in those classrooms for the kids that are in there. Why? Because we ought to care. We ought to care and be mindful of the things that take place in this building. If something goes down, if something breaks, it ought to be our heart's desire to make sure that that's right. Not because it makes it easier to have that lawnmower, not because it makes it easier for that light, if that light works, but because these things belong to God. And when I was broken, God didn't hesitate. When I have a need, God doesn't wait around for a committee. He takes care of me. He has that heart and he has that desire. These women were glad. We see there in verse 3, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. Lord, what is mine is yours, because you held nothing back from me. Well, brother, now hold on. You don't understand my trials. You don't understand what's going on. I don't have a lot. But do you have? Go ahead, take a deep breath in. That's a blessing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on each finger. That's a blessing. Did you walk in here today? I'm sure some of you got walkers and things like that. But did you come in here today or did you get carried in? Well, I like this. I talked to somebody today. They're like, well, I'm alive. They go, hey, every day on the right side of the dirt's all right, ain't it? Every day you're on the right. Don't get me wrong. Looking forward to heaven. But I'm glad I'm not knocking on that door today. Right? We're good. We don't have it all. Our bellies can be empty, our struggles can be hard, but God does give grace. And we're where we are for a reason. Well, my body hurts, I've got this limitation, this is going on. Trust me, God has a reason. We don't always know what it is. Sometimes we won't know what it is till we see Him in glory, but we trust Him with what He's given us. And we're willing to turn it back again. You think about Abraham and Isaac, the promised son. Lord, you want them back? Yep. This plan doesn't make any sense to me, Lord. He didn't question him, did he? He just did it. I'd have 1,000 questions. You want what? You want me to do what? Who's going to tell Sarah? You know? No, he just went. Lord provided. The Lord provided. And I know that since he cares for me, what I have to care for him with will be there. You know, I've been in positions before. Flat Rock used to have this thing where once a year we'd give a very special offering. We'd save up all year. We'd have a very special offering. You'd bring it down. Danielle and I barely had the gas to make it to the church. All right, well, this year we're putting in a new furnace. I'm like, well, what I'm giving might buy a furnace filter. I might be able to buy the filter on that thing. Yeah, much. But you know what I said? I said, hey, listen, I couldn't give much. As a matter of fact, I think there was one year we couldn't give at all. Hey, pastor, when that comes in, I want to be the first person to show up and make sure that the work gets done. Can I do that? Yeah, come on in. Come on in. If you don't have it, you don't have it. But there's always something that you can do, always something you can give. I hate those prosperity preachers. What's that? You're broke? Go sell your car. Give that money to the Lord. He'll return it to you in spades. That's not what the Bible says. Pay your rent. If you've got to sell the car to pay your bills or put some food in your belly, go ahead and do that. But we see this. It's not for the widow to go and sell her wedding ring so she can give to T.D. Jakes the money. It is for that church to reach out and grab a hold of that woman. Fill her pantry. Make sure she can get to the church. Sister, can you make it to your doctor's appointments? You don't have insurance? Why don't you have insurance? Well, it's complicated for me to set up. Hey, listen, we've got somebody who's worked with insurance before. Why don't you go have lunch with brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, and they'll help get you set up. Care. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot to give to this or that, but you know what I do have? I've got these two hands and a full tank of gas. That's it. That's what I got. And folks, that is our charge. To care for the things of the Lord, no matter what shape or form it comes in. To be there to provide for the needs of the church, to add supplies to the plans. I think I've demonstrated enough to you that I've got just enough knowledge to kind of understand what people are talking about. I need people who know better than me in a lot of different stuff. You know what I'm saying? I've got a degree in biblical theology. I don't have a degree in medical sciences. So you know what I need? I need to pick the brain of somebody who does. Hey, listen, this COVID thing, what do we do? Which, by the way, we need to start looking at our COVID policy again now that things are clearing up a little bit, just to reevaluate. Hey, listen, I don't have, you know, I have a maintenance background. I can... You know, between some bubble gum and some caulking, I can make things kind of right again. But when it comes down to doing something deep and technical, I need a mind better than mine in that area. Sometimes the best thing that we can give is just a piece of our mind. Listen, my experience, this is what we need to do. My experience, this is what we ought to have. So we supply and we give supplies to the plans. We give, well, hey, listen, I don't know about that, but I've got 4 or 5 shovels. I don't know about that, but I do have a cake pan. Maybe you do know about that. Open your mouth. Come talk to me. You know, one of the most bothersome things is when I don't have information, somebody else has information, but they don't want to bother me with information. That'd be like me out there dying of thirst and you not wanting to, you don't want me to spill water on myself, so you don't share it. See, I don't want to bother him right now with this bottle of water. He seems busy. No, go. Give that information. Give that help. We would see, well, perhaps there's 2 different kinds of ministries. We see that it's more one than anything else. It's more one than anything else. And there's a few reasons why I say that. Number one, the outside ministry, the visible ministry, and the background ministry cannot survive without each other. Right? Those that do the labors and those that stand up to teach, they need each other. Number two, those people need to be the same people. They can be. The person who's in a leadership role needs to be just as comfortable with scrubbing out a toilet as anybody else. The person who is a teacher needs to be comfortable going out there and doing things, because there should be no difference between them. Now, I'll tell you this. Churches need people who are willing to labor. Churches need people who are willing to lead and teach. And churches need people that can do both. Understand? Because when we segregate off in that way, you've got some people who are not living up to their Christian potential, to their true service. I mean, my goodness, if you look through Scripture, there are so many people who felt themselves unworthy to lead, who felt themselves unworthy to speak or to teach. And the Lord used them in mighty ways. It's never about you and me, but what God can do through us. It's what He can do through us. So I tell you what, if you're willing to sit there, and as I was told by my pastor, if you're willing to sit there, pay attention and watch, you'll learn something. And I'll make a useful person out of you. Yeah, he joked. But we'll make you useful. Come on. Right now. And he made it very... Right now, you sit, you listen, you learn. You ask questions. Okay. I learned how to do... Put a hammer and a nail together. Make this. Be the gopher. Go fetch this. Go get that. I learned very little things. And after a while, I was leading in those things. Hey, listen, help out in the children's ministry. When so-and-so says do this or do that, I need you to go do it. Just follow these instructions. Don't deviate from them. Do exactly this. Okay. And then, all right, listen, now it's time for you to stand up, and I need you to be a teacher. Okay. How do you feel about that? Not good. Not good. It's fine. Are you sure you don't want me to just go around and collect attendance? I loved collecting attendance. Go around to all the classrooms, pick up the slips of paper, turn them into, I can't remember who was working at the time, turn them in. They'd say thank you. It was so nice. It almost felt like I was breaking the rules because I wasn't in Sunday school class. I was just walking around. And after a while, my responsibilities got heavier and heavier. And I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed every minute that I've spent serving the Lord. With the caveat that sometimes I was having a hard time while enjoying myself. I was challenged while enjoying myself. When we serve the Lord, we can grow. We can mature. But it's important for us to realize that no matter how many responsibilities we take on, there is no responsibility beyond us. That with the exclusion of physical limitations. You know, like when we get the kids thing going back up again, Brother Tim, I'm not going to expect you to go out there and play soccer with the kids. At least not yet. But no, what we want to do is what we want to have a heart of. Whatever the house of the Lord needs, I'll do. I'll get the gate. I'll pick up a piece of paper here or there. Did anybody see the large tub out there in the front yard? We've got a large storage tub out there in the front yard. I saw as I was passing in. I'm like, on my way out, I better go grab that, get that out of there. Well, you're the pastor. What's that? I am. You're the pastor. You don't have to. I'm a church member. Yeah, I do. Well, now hold on. The pastor, you know what? I appreciate a church that says, pastor, you don't have to. That's wonderful. But I don't really have a lot of respect for a pastor that doesn't get his hands dirty every now and then. You know what I mean? It's important for us too. It's important for us to remember that we ourselves are church members, and these jobs are important. the two ministries are one. There is no gap. There is no difference between them. One directly serves the Great Commission, yes. And it should be on point. But everything we do for the Lord, down to painting a wall, baking a cake, preaching a sermon, needs to be first class for the Lord. Needs to be the very best it can be. And I want to say this, what appreciation needs to be showed for these people. When we sit there, I've never had an instance where somebody's come up to me and said, hey, pastor, nobody cleaned the bathrooms. You know what a blessing that is? Stop for a second, you gentlemen. Stop for a second to consider the blessing. It's almost like a magic trick. We use the bathroom all the time. It never needs to be clean. It's just clean. I tell you what, there are sometimes I'll go in the back and the kitchen will be, or the fellowship hall will be a little messy in the kitchen area. Sometimes I come back and some worker elves must have just showed up and took care of some stuff. Sometimes I'll even find some of my own cups and dishes taken care of and I go, whoops, don't tell my mom. You know? Praise the Lord for people who care. Praise the Lord for people who do the work and do the baking and do the cleaning. Never once should you feel as though that's a second-rate job. I think one of the biggest crimes in feminism is the fact that they belittle people who take care of the home. Because what else would it be if our homes weren't taken care of? Am I right? They said, oh, so your wife left her career to stay at home with the kids. Looks like she took a step back. I laughed. All she's doing is molding and shaping the minds of your future. All she's doing is caring and providing. And I'm not picking on people, women who go out and they have a full-time job. That's not what this is about. But praise the Lord for people who care about the home. Job or no, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for those people who either had a job and took care of the home or are taking care of the home only. And they come to the church and take care of it here. It's one of the most important and powerful things you can do. Oh, well, that's how demeaning for a woman to care about that sort of a thing. About our future? About love and care and respect? I tell you what, do you like the kind of people we got walking around here nowadays? I don't. We're in a society raised by generations of latchkey kids. Kids who didn't see their mom and dad until 7, 8:30 at night. Do you like it? I don't. We got people stepped out of church for COVID and they shut their churches down and all you need is a YouTube and the ability to mail your tithe check in and we're good. We don't even need to open the building again. I praise the Lord for a bunch of people who didn't mind hanging out for a little bit just to bleach down some rails and clean some stuff up so we could keep having churches. Church. Praise the Lord for that. For cleanliness and sanitation and for the ministry of love. For those that go out and they do the grocery shopping for each other. Those that will give each other rides. Praise the Lord for them. But you thank them to their face. George Yount said this. I'm sure he didn't originate it. But he said he was a big fan of passing out the roses while the people were still around to smell them. Oh, you'll go to a funeral. Well, that's Sister So-and-so. She was one of the most faithful members of our church. Whenever the church had a need, she was there. Whenever there was a thing that needed to be scrubbed, she was there. She was there for the young women of the church. She was there for the other wives in the church. She was there as a shining example. And now everybody in the church, they cry and they weep because they mourn. But never once were those words uttered to that dear, sweet woman. Of thank you. So if I've ever failed, I want to make it clear to you folks who start the coffee, vacuum the floors, mop the bathrooms, make the baked beans, write the letters, show love and compassion, give each other rides, go grocery shopping with each other, spend time fellowshipping with people you know are having a hard time. Thank you. Because you are part of the reason why I'm so glad to be a member of Home Missionary Baptist Church. And we must never, never lose that. We must never lose people like you. And we can never forget that in order to stay like that, to be those kind of people, it needs to come out of a heart of gratitude for the Lord. Because there'll come a time when you look at me and maybe you'll get upset at me. And you might not want to do something. I want you to remember the Lord in those moments. There might be moments where you're busy. Well, we got the ball game, we've got this vacation, we've got this and that. We don't have time to go to all the services this week. I want you to remember the Lord. You know, I'm tired today. I don't think I've got time to stick around and help clean the bathrooms or vacuum this or do that. I just want to go home and go to bed. I want you to remember the Lord who didn't give up on us until the job was finished. I want you to remember him. It's not about me. It's not about you. Our gratitude is towards him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good to us. You're so kind to us. Father, I just simply ask this, that you help us to show our gratitude. Lord, I am thankful for a church that cares. I'm thankful for a church that takes care of things. Father, help us to never lose this spirit. And I pray, Lord, that in your churches, in your people all across the world, that there are people right now, hearts broken, willing to serve you, appreciative of what you've done. Lord, help us to take these people with a heart and a mind to serve you and show them appreciation and our gratitude. We need people like these women in this verse, in these verses, people who love you and are willing to give of their own selves in order to serve you. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.